From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm legendary anchorman Bill Curtis. And here is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. Later on, we're going to be joined by our special guest, Dame Edna Everidge, international superstar. Now, if you don't know her, Dame Edna is the creation of the great Australian comedian Barry Humphries. Now, we've never interviewed anybody quite like her, so all of us are going to be performing as characters ourselves to make Dame Edna more comfortable. For example, Bill Curtis right here will be appearing as the adorable Lady Annabelle Fotheringay, a 22-year-old British aristocrat.
Oh, goodness. These crumpets are smashing. What?
You can pretend to be whoever you want to be when you call us at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It is time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Harmony Tyner. I'm calling from Rochester, Minnesota.
Harmony from Rochester?
Yes, sir.
That is a lovely name.
Thank you.
It's very sweet. Have you felt that you've had to live up to that name like Harmony?
There's a little bit of pressure, but I have a sister named Lyric, so I usually get pressured.
You do not.
True.
Is your brother named Baseline?
I could only wish for that.
Anyway, Harmony, welcome to the show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, it's a style columnist for the Washington Post. It's Ms. Roxanne Roberts.
Hi, Roxanne.
Hello.
Next up, it's the host of Livewire and the podcast Too Beautiful to Live. It's Luke Burbank.
Hiya, Harmony.
Hi, Luke.
And finally, it's the host of NPR's Ask Me Another. It's Ophir Eisenberg, right there.
Hello.
Well, welcome to the show, Harmony. You're going to play Who's Bill this time. Bill Curtis right here is going to create for you three quotations from the week's news using only his voice. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you'll win our prize. Scorekeeper Emeritus Carl Castle's voice on your voicemail. You ready to play?
Absolutely.
All right. Now, here is somebody, for your first quote, responding exactly a year ago to the suggestion that he might run for president a third time.
Oh, no. No. No, no, no. No, no, no.
Well, as of this week, he's all yes, 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 who seemingly thinks the third time will be the charm.
Oh, my. That must be Mitt Romney.
It is Mitt Romney. Well done. Yes. Mr. Romney surprised a group of friends and supporters by saying he has decided to run again. Their reactions ran the whole gamut from God, no, to ha, ha, that's hilarious. Oh, God, you're serious. Here's the thing. At this point, he has tried so hard to be president for so long to such little effect. He deserves something. I think the best thing that we as Americans can do for Mitt Romney is let him be president for a day. No, it would be kind of a Make-A-Wish Foundation thing. You invite him to the White House, the Oval Office. He gets to make one speech to an appreciative audience. He gets to go for a ride, an Air Force One, sign a real bill, order one clandestine assassination. It's all he wants, right?
Or maybe a nice participation badge for trying. I'm so happy I don't vote in your elections, by the way. People don't know that Canadians don't vote in American elections, but we don't.
Americans don't vote in most American elections. You ought to be technical about it. Does he have the same life coach as Liam Neeson?
One.
They keep having, like, Liam Neeson's family keeps getting kidnapped. Like, at some point, that's on Neeson, you have to think, right? And, like, Mitt Romney keeps running for president. I have a very specific set of skills.
I know.
I will run for president, and I will not be victorious.
Now, here's the thing. The question is, seriously, what is he thinking? Seriously, you ran for president, you lost. We know how this will play out. But apparently, his supporters, his circle, Romney World, they say, and this is all true, they say that Romney has loosened up. He's no longer the stiff robot that he seemed to be. And this is the example and the proof they give that at a recent public event, he went up behind former Senator Scott Brown and did bunny ears with his fingers behind his head. That's it. That's your proof right there that Mitt Romney is now a loose, wild, and crazy guy.
Yeah, he's got that weird uncle sense of humor.
I know.
That's great.
Well, he was all crunked out on crunk juice that night, which is what he calls decaf.
Yeah. Well, we think he wasn't actually doing bunny ears. He was just signaling the butler for two glasses of milk. Harmony, here is your next quote.
I think he wanted to watch football. That was it. He was going to watch football.
That was a former Secret Service agent speculating this week on why President Obama did not travel where for a big rally last weekend.
Oh, my. Paris.
Yes,
indeed.
He didn't go to Paris. 40 other world leaders went to Paris to show solidarity after the attacks there. But where was Obama? Many people thought it was a terrible mistake to snub the French, especially, of course, Republicans, who so admire the French. Especially for inventing freedom fries. You guys, it was embarrassing, right? It was legitimately embarrassing. There was Angela Merkel from Germany and David Cameron and Benjamin Netanyahu and nobody from America. We had the U.S. ambassador to France who was there already. Big deal. Attorney General Eric Holder, this is true, was already in France and didn't go to the rally. Why not? It's like, yeah, I could go to the International March of Solidarity of Civilizing Nations, but I bet the lines at the Louvre are going to be way short today.
But they didn't have to send Taylor Swift. You know, we have a lot. She sings Shake It Off. Everyone cheers. Everyone's happy. Beyonce, Maroon 5. There's, like, we could have sent.
We should have sent Maroon 5?
That's actually a violation of, I think, two of the Geneva Conventions.
I love that.
Roxanne, you're the expert. What's your explanation?
For why they didn't go, presumably.
Yeah.
What I had heard is that there was never a formal invitation.
The others, you only had 40 who didn't need one.
Yeah.
But you know what? That can't be true because they looked at the Evite and you could see that the U.S. looked at the invitation but had not responded.
Yeah. All right, Harmony, we have one last quote for you. Here it is.
It's like bidding to host an epidemic.
That was NPR's own commentator, Frank DeFord, agreeing with the many people who say it is not a good thing for Boston to have been nominated to host what?
Oh, wait, don't tell me. It's the Olympics.
Thank you so much.
I am upset that you actually said that and that it got the biggest laugh of the day so far. The U.S. Olympic Committee picked Boston to be the American candidate city to host the 2024 Olympics. It was between them, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Mitt Romney. But they told him, but no, this is something you can't be a candidate for, Mitt. Boston, of course, as a part-time resident of Boston, it's a perfect choice. It's got that small-town feel. But because the roads were laid out by cows 400 years ago, it takes just as long to get anywhere as it does in a real city.
Have they finished the big dig yet?
Because that could be a sport.
They have.
Guys, it's competitive shoveling.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we put Boston forward because we don't really want to win. We're like reaching for our wallet as slow as possible as the check arrives. Yeah. Boston?
I'm just looking forward to the new Olympic spot of Atchery. Bill, how did Harmony do on our quiz?
Harmony was perfect.
Thank you, Harmony, for playing. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We want to remind everybody they can join us most weeks right here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago. For tickets and more information, head right over to WBEZ.org, or you can find a link at our website, which is waitwait.npr.org. Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Luke, beer snobs who like the rarest of beers are very excited because there's a new craft beer coming from Iceland. This craft beer from Iceland is made from what?
Bjork's tears. Which are beautiful, I should mention.
That yes. is entirely possible.
It really, I believe it. Even stranger. I don't know how to hint at this because it's the literally, I think, the last thing in the world you would imagine you would put in your beer. But I will try.
I mean,
say you were a whale. Say a bowfin whale.
Oh, sure.
And you got up in the morning. Uh-huh. You'd probably start the day by scratching these.
Is it whale junk?
It is. It is beer flavored with whale testicles.
Whoa!
A brewery in Iceland this week unveiled a new seasonal beer flavored with smoked whale testicles. Why would they do that, you ask?
Because they're so much better smoked.
The whale parts are cured according to a, quote, old Icelandic tradition, and then salted, smoked, and added to the brew. It's the perfect drink for watching the ball game and eating beer nuts.
Everybody's going places, doing things. Look at all the smiling faces. Sing.
Having a ball.
Doing the number.
Coming up, our panelists regret running for public office. It's our Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Subaru, featuring the Subaru XV Crosstrek with symmetrical all-wheel drive and 34 miles per gallon. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Learn more at Subaru.com. Patricia Pepper, supporting Perez Art Museum Miami, providing progressive art programming and cultural experiences to Miami-Dade County residents and visitors on the web at PAMM.org. And the Economic Development Authority of Fairfax County, Virginia, providing real estate advisory services and other resources to businesses interested in starting, relocating, and expanding in Fairfax County. Details at powerofideas.org. From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Luke Burbank, Ophira Eisenberg, and Roxanne Roberts. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you so much. Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey, how are you? This is John Campos from Topeka, Kansas.
John Campos?
Campos.
You're in Topeka?
Yes, sir.
I haven't been to Topeka in a long time. How are things in Topeka?
It's scary. It's very scary here.
It's scary?
Peter, I started in Topeka.
Yeah, I know.
You were TV show.
You're a son of the plains.
And yes, Midwest. Yeah. So, John, welcome.
Well, John, welcome to our show. You're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Bill, what is John's topic?
Being president's hard.
There are many perks to elected office. People to boss around, secret service agents, you get bribes on a regular basis. But there are also some risks. This week we read a story about a politician who endured a job-related danger. Guess the real peril of a public office, and you will win Carl Castle's voice on your voicemail. Are you ready to play?
Sure.
First, let's hear from Luke Burbank.
The race for Public Utilities Commissioner of Ankeny, Iowa, was won, as everybody pretty much knows, by Fred Friesma. This was notable because Fred spent election night watching the returns from a hospital bed where he'd been confined with breathing difficulties and other mysterious symptoms. Well, initially I figured Barry might be behind it, Friesma told the Polk County Times. Barry being Barry Treehorn, his Republican opponent in the race. He wanted the position real bad, said Fred. But if you ask me, he just wanted it for the glitz and glamour of telling folks he's the utilities commissioner. For his part, Barry Treehorn denied any involvement in having poisoned, quote, that jackass Fred. The police agreed, though it took them a week to figure out who the real culprit was. 9-month-old Haley Cooper of nearby Pella, Iowa, Cooper tested positive for enterovirus D68, which manifests as a severe cold and flu and can be contracted through kissing, among other things. I guess I could have kissed her, said Fred. I mean, I kissed half the babies in Polk County while I was campaigning. Fortunately, both Fred and Haley have made full recoveries. Things even turned out okay for Barry Treehorn, who was elected High Exalted Ruler of the Elks Lodge.
A politician wins but gets deathly sick from kissing one too many babies. Your next story of an elected official suffering for higher office comes from Roxanne Roberts.
Newly elected Miami Commissioner Andre Thomas promised never to lose touch with his voters. In fact, his campaign slogan was Dinner with Andre, a pledge to eat a meal with every household in his district during his four-year term. In the 8 weeks since the election, Thomas has turned up at 33 homes, usually with a roasted chicken. The conversations have been great, everyone agrees, but the food, meh. Thomas has hired an extra staffer to coordinate and schedule the dinners, but a vegan voter vetoed vegetarian fare, and four seniors complained Thomas didn't show up for dinner until 5:45 p.m. The commissioner told the Miami Herald he intends to honor his pledge despite the fact he's already gained 10 pounds. Quote, occupational hazard, he explained with a laugh.
The mayor of Miami gains too much weight and annoys a lot of people with his Dinner with Everybody program. Your last story of a politico with a problemo comes from Ophira Eisenberg.
Will Flanagan, the former mayor of Fall River, Rhode Island, was enjoying a peaceful night at home when he glanced out his front window and noticed the interior light on in his SUV. He went outside to find a man breaking into his car who shouted, "I'm going to kill you. You lost the election." The man brandished a weapon that he had found inside of the mayor's SUV, a pair of comically large scissors, fresh from a recent ribbon-cutting ceremony. He menaced Flanagan, dangerously snipping the air with the oversized clippers, until Flanagan calmly walked away to call 911. The police were able to apprehend the shears-wielding felon easily without having to resort to throwing a giant foam rock on top.
Here are your three stories, then, of a politician enduring hardship because of the duties of his office. From Luke Burbank, a guy who got elected public utility commissioner but got sick because he kissed too many babies. From Roxanne Roberts, a guy who promised to eat with every constituent, has gained weight and made everybody mad. Or from Ophira Eisenberg, a mayor attacked, I tell you, with his own pair of ceremonial giant scissors that he used for ribbon cuttings. Which of these is the real story of a politician in trouble we found in the week's news?
I'm going to go with the scissors one.
You are?
Yeah.
All right. Your choice then is Ophira's story. Well, we spoke to someone familiar with this story.
Mayor Flanagan found a man going through his belongings, and then the man ran around a corner, came back with the giant pair of ceremonial scissors.
That was Joe C. Good, a reporter for the Herald News in Fall River, Massachusetts, talking about the attack of the giant scissors. Congratulations, John. You got it right. Well done. You were confident for a reason. You're at the point for Ophira. You've won our prize. Our old friend Carl Castle will record the greeting on your voicemail. Well done, sir. Congratulations, John.
Thank you.
He's got his great long scissors out. Snip, snip.
And now the game where we ask the fabulous about the mundane. It's called Not My Job. Blazing out of the Melbourne, Australia suburb of Moonee Ponds, Dame Edna Everidge has conquered stage, screen, television, bookshops, and basically all of Western civilization over the last 60 years. She has just launched her final farewell tour across America, and we are delighted to welcome her. Dame Edna, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank
yes, Damon.
It's beautiful to talk to you and to the viewers. And you know, I call them viewers.
You do.
Because a lot of people, especially confused people, watch the radio.
They do. It's wise. Sometimes it moves, in my experience.
My mother watches it in the hope that someone will pop out of it. I had a horrible experience, Peter, though.
What was that, Damon?
I nearly missed this broadcast.
Yes.
because I'm in a spooky hotel, and I was very nervous about talking to you and to the viewers, and I went out of my hotel door, and the door slammed. So I didn't know what to do. I crossed the corridor.
Yes.
I opened a door, and it was a stairwell. I got caught. The door slammed again, and I was in a stairwell in a strange hotel. It's horrible.
It's terrible.
I had to descend about 18 floors.
I see.
And I found a person in a similar predicament.
Really?
And unfortunately, it was a sort of homeless person.
Oh, I see.
And they were very comfortable. They were actually living there. There was a shopping cart and all that sort of thing.
Yes.
The beautiful setup they had.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, it was a bit more comfortable than my room.
I understand.
Do you know, I feel, Peter...
Yes.
...that I'm an unofficial ambassador, because everywhere I go, I tell people about the United States, because whether you know it or not, America is a very well-kept secret.
It is. Now, I just want to say, you are, I think, where shall we begin? You are certainly Australia's most famous citizen. Is that
well,
correct?
I am, and I'm a very close friend of the Queen.
Yes.
And she doesn't really make a move without me.
I have a
lovely little apartment in Buckingham Palace.
Do you?
I've got a key. And she's given me my own shelf in the refrigerator.
That's very sweet of her.
And I've introduced her grandson, Prince William, to that little Kate Middleton.
Did you do that? You arranged that?
I did. I'm a bit of a matchmaker. I introduced George Clooney, too, to that lovely woman.
Really? Can you remember her name? Because I have a trouble with it.
No.
Okay. She is a solicitor, I'm told.
Oh, she's many things. She's a lawyer, a human rights lawyer, but then so am I. Anyone can be one of those.
Really? And
I'm also a widow, Peter.
Oh, I had heard that. That was rather tragic.
Well, no. As a matter of fact, the secret of my marriage is a very, very simple one.
Mm-hmm.
My husband was bedridden for most of our married life.
Yes.
He was an invalid.
I see.
And I'd recommend it, as a matter of fact. Because, no, it gave me a certain freedom. And he was very well looked after.
Well, we understand, though, that you do have you children, though. You're a mother.
Oh, I've got three children. I lost one.
Oh.
It was abducted by a rogue koala bear, a feral koala bear.
That's terrible, but somewhat adorable.
But it was, well, I mean, I'm looking, every time I pass a eucalyptus tree, I look up.
Hello. Damon, what is your parenting style? Do you consider yourself, as we've been saying of late here in America, a tiger mom? Did you demand a lot from your children?
No, I don't. I've decided... The secret of parenting is benevolent neglect. It is. And I put my family last.
Really?
Because if you don't, if you put them first, they never thank you. You'll never get a word of thanks from them.
Right.
You've got to do what Peter has got to do.
True.
And you have done wonders, and you've made those lovely films, The Dirty Dancing and Havana Nights.
That's Dame Edna.
Who told her about the internet?
I know.
Who was that person talking?
That was Luke Burbank.
Dame, we met recently in a stairwell. You made quite an impression on me.
You had a shave.
However did you find out about me?
Because, look, darling, I followed your career for many, many years.
I'm flattered and honored.
And you are very, very bright and interesting.
Well, thank you, Dame Edna.
And really, you don't need to do this show.
What?
You're a better thing to do.
Well, Dame Edna, we are so... I think honored is the only word to talk to you. We've asked...
You don't have to overdo it, Peter. I know you too well.
Oh, you're right.
I don't hear a single note of sincerity.
All right, Dame Edna, we're moderately happy to talk to you. We've asked you here to play a game that this time we're calling. Oh, yes. This time we're calling the game
I Won't Be Back.
Now, as you mentioned, you're on your farewell tour, one of just a few, and we have no doubt that this time you mean it sincerely, but other people are not so honest about their farewells. We're going to ask you three questions about other farewell tours taken from an article we found on RollingStone.com. And if you get two questions right, you'll win a prize for one of our listeners. Bill, who is Dame Edna Everidge playing for?
Kate Ree of Berlin, Germany.
So there you are.
Good heavens!
I know, Germany, no less. Here's your first question, Dame Edna. The heavy metal band Judas Priest, perhaps you know of them.
You've lost me already.
I know. They're a musical group of some kind. They did their farewell tour in 2011, and then they toured again 2 years later. When asked why they came back after going away, guitarist Glenn Tipton of the band said which of these? Did he say A, quote, you try living at home with my wife? B, quote, I realized no one threw their underwear at me when I was retired? Or C, quote, we lied?
C.
You are correct, Amen. We lied. Yes, very good. Very good choice.
I said C because you wouldn't expect a very witty reply from a heavy metal band.
That's true. Next question, Dame Edna. When the band Nine Inch Nails announced their farewell tour in 2009...
What was the name of them?
Nine Inch Nails, Dame
Edna. I thought you said males.
No, no, no. When the band Nine Inch Nails announced their farewell tour in 2009, band leader Trent Reznor explained their decision to quit how? Again, three quotes. Was it A, quote, basically, I came around to agree with all the parents. It is just noise. B, quote, I realized it was time to quit when I couldn't fit into the pants anymore. Or C, quote, I'd never want to be Gene Simmons, an old man who puts on makeup to entertain kids like a clown going to work, unquote.
I think it's C again.
You are right,
wow.
Dame Edna. I was going to explain who Gene Simmons was. He, of course, is the leader of the band Kiss, but I presumably you know that.
Well, someone knows it.
Now, we have one last question for you. Let's see if you can be as perfect in this as you are in so many things. Elton John, who is, of course, still performing, first announced that he would stop touring as a musician back in 1977. He later said that that decision was due to what? A, he was distraught after his single, No, Wait, This Is Your Song, failed to sell. B, he was taking a lot of drugs. Or C, he didn't want to be like Gene Simmons.
Number one.
Number one. Number one was he was distraught after his single, No Wait, This Is Your Song, failed to catch on with the public.
That is my choice.
Oh, I wish it were true. Sadly, it was B. He said that he quit only because he was taking a lot of drugs and used to have hallucinations.
Oh, dear.
Yes, I know. But he regretted the decision and, of course, has been performing
Well, that's
ever
not
since.
My reason. I'm telling you that.
No, no. Well, what is your reason? Why are you giving up the glory of the Footlights?
Do you know... You're beginning to talk me into doing another farewell tour.
Bill, how did Dame Edna do in our quiz?
Well, she did so well, I think you should rethink your farewell tour, Dame Edna.
Oh, no, I can't at the moment. But the fact of the matter is that whenever someone says, you know this well, Peter,
yes.
When they say, we're very excited about your show. You know it's finished.
I know. I always say the entertainment industry was founded when it was discovered that enthusiasm was free.
You see, you have a talent far too rich.
I can only agree. Dame Edna Everidge is currently on tour with Dame Edna's Glorious Goodbye, The Farewell Tour. She is in Seattle this weekend, but will be at the Amundsen Theater in Los Angeles from January 24th through the 15th of March. Dame Edna, thank you so much. Good luck.
This is
look forward to talking to you again.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
There is nothing like a dame, nothing in the world. There is nothing you can name that is anything like a dame.
In just a minute, Bill passes out next to his drunk cat. It's the Listener Limerick Challenge. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to join us on the air. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. And Lumosity, offering a 10-minute fit test to challenge memory, attention, and problem-solving with brain games to calculate baseline scores and build a personalized brain training program. Performance can be compared to global averages. Learn more at lumosity.com. Angie's List, providing online access to service ratings and reviews so consumers can find local plumbers, landscapers, HVAC professionals, house cleaners, and other services. Learn more at angieslist.com. And Arizona State University, with more than 70 campus degrees to choose from, offered 100% online with 6 start dates a year. Learn more at online.asu.edu. From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We are playing this week with Ophira Eisenberg, Roxanne Roberts, and Luke Burbank. And here again is your host, at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you. In just a minute, Bill sings the old folk song Parsley, Sage, Rosemary, and Rhyme in this week's Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Ophira, nation in shock, fury, crisis, outrage. Those were just a few of the real headlines we saw this week in response to a change to what timeless British icon?
Oh, the delightful Easter cream egg.
You're so right. Known as the Cadbury cream egg. Well done, Ophira.
Yes, I love those.
The Cadbury cream egg is a cherished British candy. It's laid by the royal chocolate chickens kept at the Candy Palace at Windsor. But this week, Cadbury announced a change in the chocolate recipe for the shell. And the British people are outraged. They're calling it unacceptable. The Telegraph newspaper said that the candies aren't just sweets. They're, quote, edible time capsules that take consumers back to their childhood with every mouthful, unquote.
They're time capsules kind of because usually the ones on the shelf have been there a long time.
They're terrible.
It is. They really tried to replicate an egg, which is not a good way to approach a candy.
No, yeah. Roxanne, this week Pope Francis said that free speech is a right, but you should not make fun of people's religion or who?
How about a hint?
Well, not the Papa, but...
Papa.
Not the Papa.
Don't make fun of mothers. Don't make fun
not
of
just
the
mother,
Virgin
not,
Mary.
No, not just mothers in general, but...
His mother.
Exactly right. His mom.
Wait, is his mother still alive?
Well, it depends what you mean by alive. Pope Francis said that free speech was very important, but he was careful to add... And just to be clear, this is a quote from the Pope of Rome. Quote, if my good friend says a curse word against my mother, he can expect a punch, unquote. Now, with all respect to the Pope, and of course to his beloved, we presume, late mother, could somebody please walk up to him and insult his mom? Because people of all faiths can agree it would be awesome to see the Pope punch someone. Now, the Pope's threat to defend his mother's honor with his papal fists seems at odds with, oh, say, Jesus.
What's the line for the Pope? I know we're all into cool dad Pope, but, like, threatening to beat people up, is that... That's like drunk stepdad Pope.
Oh, be careful.
Yeah.
The Pope's in down in the den watching the fights. You don't want to interrupt him.
No, the Eagles lost today. Don't go in the basement. Pope Dad is not in the good mood.
I think you're wrong. I think the Pope would be a Cardinals fan.
Oh, well played, sir.
How about the Saints?
How about the Saints? Yes, he makes a good point. Thank you. Ophira, scientists from Berkeley have determined that the first conversation ever, the first time our ancient ancestors spoke to each other, they now believe that they were likely talking about what?
Being Jewish?
Oi. That was the first word.
Oi.
Oi. Sorry, for no, they did not talk about being Jews.
Oh, okay.
No.
The very first conversation, the thread of the very first conversation, well, I would assume it had to do something with food.
It was not, oddly enough. That's not what they believe. We don't know. No one was there.
Sure.
But this is speculation.
Speculation. All right. Do you want to hint me after I've gotten it wrong?
The first sentence might have been something like, so, did you get that over at Cave Depot?
At Tools?
Yes, Tools.
Yeah.
Scientists now believe that it wasn't until we began using tools that man began speaking. See, the first conversation ever began, we presume, when caveman Og built a new patio in the back of his cave. And caveman Chad asked him how he'd done it. And Chad was like, tool? By the way, when Berkeley scientists say man's first conversation, they mean men. Women had been talking for centuries, but no one, of course, ever listened to them.
I just like...
They can never find their tools.
I love the idea of these two cavemen just having a conversation about construction. Like, measure twice, bash once.
If I had a hammer, I'd a hammer in the morning. I'd a hammer in the evening, all over this land.
Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you would like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows right here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago, or our February 12th show in Orlando, Florida, and our March 12th show in New Orleans. Also, be sure to check out our sister podcast, How to Do Everything. This week, NBA superstar Jeremy Lin teaches the FBI a new secret handshake. Hi, you're on Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Eric Prue. Who's this?
This is... this is Peter.
Hi, Peter.
Where are you calling from, Eric?
I'm calling from New York City at the moment. I live in Austin, but I'm here working on a project.
Oh, I see. That's exciting. And since you live in Austin, what kind of music do you play?
I hack around on a guitar a little bit, but you won't see me playing at any venues.
Well... Nice to talk to you, Eric. Bill Curtis is now going to perform for you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly in two of the limericks, you will be a winner. Are you ready to play?
Yes.
All right, here we go.
In the hot place to eat in the city, when the food's on the house, it's not pity. Cosmetic face judges are giving us nudges. We're comping your meal if you're...
pretty?
Yes, indeed, Eric, pretty. Very good. No one, and I say no one, looks good while they are eating, not even Steve Inskeep. But a restaurant in China has hired a panel of judges to rank diners on their looks and award free food to the best-looking people. The idea, I guess, is to get attractive people to come to the restaurant because there's nothing the beautiful people like to do more than eat while people stare at them and take notes. You know what's really depressing? Going there and being charged double.
We can give you half off your croutons.
Here is your next limerick, Eric.
I'm not drinking alone in my flat. My feline friend helps me with that. Sancerre in the dish will go well with some fish. I've bought special wine for my...
cat.
Yes.
That is it.
Cat. You said with some resignation, we understand. A Japanese company, which is called Meow Meow Nouveau, is selling wine for cats, which is apparently not just really expensive milk. The idea is you'll always have someone to drink with, And just like a real drinking buddy, this one will probably pass out or wander off and go lick something it should not. Here is your last limerick.
At our theme park, the kids have all shown up. They clock in, then have coffee with donuts. There is no time to play because they work for their pay. All the kids get to act like a...
grown-up.
Indeed, a grown-up. An article in the New Yorker this week describes a new global chain of theme parks called Kidzania, where kids get to basically be adults for the day. Before, if a kid wanted to be treated like an adult, he had to go work in an iPhone factory. At Kidzania, though, kids pretend to have jobs. They go grocery shopping, and they wait in line to ride the Linerator, which is just a line with nothing fun at the end. And then at the end of all this adult fun, they go home and have too many juice boxes and are too tired to play with their even tinier fake children. I'm sorry, was that too sad? It got a little sad.
Makes me want to drink some cat wine.
Bill, how did Eric do in our quiz?
Brilliant. 3-0, Eric.
Well done, Eric. Done like an Austinite. Thanks. Say hello to Austin for us.
I will. Thank you very much.
Now it's time to move on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Bill, can you give us the scores?
Roxanne and Luke each have 2. Ophira has 4.
Whoa! We flipped a coin. Luke is elected to go second, so Roxanne, that means you're up first. Here we go. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. On Wednesday, an Ohio man was arrested and charged with planning an attack on the blank.
U.S. Capitol.
Right. In the fulfillment of promises he made in December, President Obama announced that the U.S. would begin loosening its travel restrictions on blank.
Cuba.
Right. On Monday, ISIS hackers briefly took over the U.S. Central Command's blank.
Their Twitter account.
Indeed. According to a report from the Labor Department, there are now more blanks available in the U.S. than at any time since 2001.
Jobs.
Right. A Florida driver who threw a bag of cocaine out of his sunroof was busted anyway because it blanked.
Because the police picked it up and it didn't splatter all over. And
well, not quite. Because it landed gently on the hood of the police car that was chasing him. Okay. The Grand Budapest Hotel and Birdman led the nominations for the 2015 Blank Awards.
Academy Awards.
Right. Thousands of people flooded the streets of Columbus to celebrate Blank's championship win
Ohio
over the University of Oregon.
State!
Yes, a Minnesota police officer suspected a woman had been drinking after she told him that her address was blank.
1600 Pennsylvania Drunk Avenue.
Oh, so close. She said, my address is 21780. I'm drunk. The officer's first clue that the woman may have been under the influence came when he noticed that she was parked in his driveway. When he asked her how much she'd had to drink that night, she told him, probably a lot, and then proceeded to say that her address was 21780. I'm drunk.
She sounds like a blast.
Bill, how did Roxanne do in our quiz?
She got 6 right for 12 more points. She now has 14 points and the lead.
That was Roxanne-erific, Roxanne. Ooh. Next up, Mr. Luke Burbank. Here we go. Luke, fill in the blank. On Wednesday, the first post-attack issue of Blank sold out within minutes of being released.
Charlie Hebdo.
Right. A federal judge ruled Thursday that Michigan must recognize the 300 blanks it performed last year.
Gay marriages.
Yes. A newly elected councilman in Virginia blanked just in time to take the oath of office.
Turned 18.
No, got out of jail. Health officials in California have reported that Disneyland was ground zero for a recent outbreak of blank.
Awesomeness.
Measles. Heisman Trophy winner Marcus Mariota announced he planned to forgo his final year of college and enter the blank.
NFL.
Right, the draft. An engineer for India's Public Works Department was fired after he failed to blank.
After he failed to dig a tunnel to Pakistan.
No, he was fired after he failed to show up to work for 24 years.
Because of the tunnel.
The engineer began taking paid leave in 1990, and when he didn't return for 2 years, the Public Works Department started an investigation, which took 15 years for investigators to conclude that, yeah, it looks like this guy is not showing up for work. And after that, it took another 7 quick years for them to decide to fire the employee. The head of the department says he is taking the matter seriously and has told the engineer that his desk had to be cleaned out by 2035.
Bill, how did Luke do on our quiz?
Save it, Curtis.
I'm sorry to report, Luke got 3 right. 6 more points. That gives him 8 total. But Roxanne still has the lead at 14.
So here's the math problem we give you every week, Bill. How many does Ophira need?
5 to tie, Ophira. Nope. 6 to win.
All right.
Here we go, Ophira. This is for the game Fill in the Blank.
Yes.
According to a new report from the U.S. Treasury, the federal blank is now the smallest it has been since 2007.
The debt is low.
The deficit, yes.
Thank you.
The National Transit Safety Board announced it would be investigating an electrical malfunction that forced the evacuation of a subway station in blank.
Washington, D.C.
Yes. The Pinellas County Sheriff's Office was forced to replace a rug in their entrance area after noticing the official seal printed on it said blank.
In Dog We Trust.
Right. Amazon announced this week that blank would be creating a new show for their streaming video service.
YouTube.
Woody Allen would be
what?
Creating a new show.
That's amazing.
A government-run charity event in Malaysia was criticized when instead of cash, it gave homeless people blank instead.
Oh, doll heads.
No, it... That's both wrong and creepy. It gave the homeless people household appliances.
Oh.
The annual charity event, which is held by the Ministry of Federal Territories, invited over 2,000 homeless people to come by and collect coffee makers, electric whisks, and ovens.
Oh.
The minister admits that this may have been a mistake and says that next year they'll strive to give the homeless population something more useful, like a nice set of curtains. Bill.
Well, she got 3 right.
Yeah!
6 more points for a total of 10.
See?
4 short. 4 short of Roxanne, who has 15 and is this week's champion.
Well done, Roxanne. In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists, after they botched the Paris Peace March, what will be the next mistake the White House admits to. But first, let me tell you all that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Wix.com, giving business owners the ability to create their own website with the drag-and-drop builder. Wix.com is used by 50 million people. Learn more at Wix.com. The Doris Duke Charitable Foundation, working to improve the quality of people's lives by supporting the performing arts, the environment, medical research, and child well-being. Information is available at ddcf.org. And Progressive Insurance with its Apron Project, celebrating progress and the people who make it happen. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, benevolent overlord. Philip Goedeker writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. His assistant house manager is Tyler Green. Our intern is Levi's 501 Jeanzette Harris Quartz. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Special thanks to John Sajak and Lester Larchick at Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Walchover and Miles Webb. Extra Dornbos. Technical direction is from Lorna White. Our CFO is Ann Nien. Our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Mr. Ian Chillog. And the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Monsieur Michael Linwood Danforth. Now, panel, what will be the next mistake the White House admits to? Ophira Eisenberg.
Trying to pass high-speed internet and paid sick days because the entire nation is just going to stay home and download Netflix.
Roxanne Roberts.
It's not really their fault, but so the Democrats still have a chance in Massachusetts in 2016, the administration will apologize to Boston for getting the Olympics.
And Luke Burbank.
Establishing high-level diplomatic relations with Dame Edna, who it turns out is not a world leader, but an 80-year-old dude from Australia.
And if the White House does any of those things, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you to Bill Curtis. Thanks also to Ophira Eisenberg, the Pride of Canada, Luke Burbank, and Roxanne Roberts. Thanks to all of you for listening. I am Peter Sagal. And you know, we will see you next week. This is NPR.